It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Across the U.S., Labor Day is a signal for students to head back to school. It's also a time of conspicuous spending, with new backpacks and markers, books, and a new back-to-school wardrobe. But on the other side of the world, in the tourist paradise of Bali, there's a school that the U.S. Green Building Council named the greenest school on Earth for 2012. It's called the Green School, and it educates some 300 students from 25 different countries. Living on Earth's Bobby Bascom went to check out what's so green about the school and arrived during a benefit concert.
Thanks for coming out on the first ever day of the Soulshine Festival. Making it amazing.
Musician Michael Franti greets an audience of students, parents, and music lovers on the first day of a weekend festival to benefit the Green School in Bali.
All I wanna do is be with you.
The Green School offers a K-12 education with all the usual subjects and a strong environmental focus. Tuition is $13,000 a year, far too expensive for most Indonesian students. Franti says the proceeds from the festival will go towards a scholarship fund for local kids.
You know, we want to highlight the great eco work that they do here, but we want equal opportunity for everyone. So we want Indonesian kids to be in this school as much as expat kids.
The Green School opened in 2008. It was the brainchild of John Hardy, a Canadian jewelry designer who moved to Bali in the 1970s. Years later, when Hardy retired, he invested his own money in the school.
He sold his business, and he was, you know, when most people would be saying, okay, which yacht should we buy? He said, I want to give back. I want to contribute to the healing of this planet.
Charis Ford is director of communications for the Green School. He's tall and thin, wears a checkered shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. On a sunny Balinese morning, he leads a tour of the school as musicians perform sound checks for the festival. On the far side of a wide grassy athletic field lies the main academic building, known as the Heart of School. The circular three-story building is built from more than 4 miles of bamboo poles. From a distance, it looks a bit like a spaceship, a bamboo spaceship.
Bamboo is extremely strong. I mean, I've heard it compared to the strength of iron and steel. It is the fastest growing plant on Earth. If you're patient and you're willing to sit there, that at a certain point in bamboo's growth cycle, I think it's around when it's kind of in a bamboo shoot phase, that you can actually see it kind of, you know, stretching into its adulthood.
It rains a lot in Bali. Humidity and bugs typically destroy a bamboo structure in about 4 years. But the Green School building should survive 20 years or more.
We use treated bamboo, but it's been treated with salt, essentially. We heat water and we submerge the bamboo poles into the salt water, and it makes the bamboo unpalatable to termites and molds and funguses and other things that would biodegrade the bamboo.
Most of the support beams are covered with words like inspire and create, or names like Ben and Jerry's.
Whenever anyone donates $100 or more, they earn what we refer to as bamboo immortality, where they get their name or a quote or an image carved into the bamboo posts that hold the building up.
Some 20 huge bamboo trunks hang from the ceiling. Kids walk through this moving bamboo forest to create a giant wind chime. Bamboo is locally grown and used to make everything, floors, bookshelves, chairs, even bamboo bolts to hold the whole building together. Only the roof is made from something else. That's a local grass called ilong ilong.
It is basically like very tall grass that's been cut at about 3 feet tall, and then they fold it over slats, and the slats then become like a curtain, if you will, and we layer those curtains one over another on the rafters of the building, much like you would tile or shingles or something like that.
I've been here a few days now, and it poured. I've never seen rain like that, but the thatch holds up.
Yeah. Oh, it holds up. Yeah. I heard from a Balinese man that if you put the ilong ilong on thick enough, it can last up to 20 years, which blew me away. Our roof system is not so thick as that, so we need to replace it from time to time. We find uses for our old roofing. We put it into the paths of our garden or mulch the garden beds with it, compost with it. So we end up getting a lot of use out of it.
From the Heart of School, we follow winding dirt paths cut through the grass to check out more of the campus. Chara stops at a photovoltaic setup that looks more like a forest than a solar array.
The solar panels are set on bamboo poles, and they're positioned like you might see leaves scattered on a forest floor instead of all lined up like a row of billboards.
Bali sits just 8 degrees south of the equator, so solar panels here are angled almost straight up instead of pointing south as they do in the U.S. And it works well. At the moment, the Green School gets 70% of its energy from solar.
But we are in the process of building our hydroelectric kind of energy generator to produce the rest of our power.
It's called a vortex hydroelectric power generator. Essentially, they'll divert a small part of the river that runs through the campus and direct it into a round enclosure, some 15 feet deep with a turbine and a drain at the bottom. The vortex harnesses the power of a whirlpool to create a constant source of energy.
That's going to produce 100% of our energy alone. So we'll be producing an extra 70% once the vortex power plant is up and running.
Charis leads the way to one of the classrooms, another round bamboo building with a grass roof. But one thing is noticeably missing.
We don't have walls.
It was part of John Hardy's vision for the school that the classrooms be open so students can learn while immersed in nature.
All the building companies that he spoke with were like, well, you have to have walls. You know, all schools have to have walls. And John was like, why do you have to have walls? And they kind of rubbed their chin and scratched their head and said, well, where are the kids going to hang the art? You know, I mean, and as it turns out, you don't have to have walls. And we don't have walls and we're quite happy about it.
Just outside the classroom, a chicken wanders through a patch of green beans. Gardens are everywhere. Integrated throughout the campus, they mimic a natural forest ecosystem using edible plants, a design called permaculture.
When you wander around Green School's campus, you might think it looks kind of like it's wild. But then as you tune in and you look at the plants that you're actually around, you'll see that one, that's a bean trellis, and that's a guava tree, and that's ginger. Even though it looks a little bit like a jungle setting, you get a little closer and you see chocolate cacao pods hanging from the tree next to you.
All the pupils at the school learn how to grow food as part of the curriculum, including Charles Ford's own two children.
My fifth grade boy, his class raises the chickens and they collect the eggs and they design the cage and that's their responsibility. My first grader has got a garden patch outside of his classroom and he and his classmates weed and harvest and plant and they bring home armloads of veggies to their families.
Each grade has a different responsibility in the garden. Sixth graders Ben and Chayton say they like getting outside to grow food and being inside to learn.
Classrooms are nice because there's like no walls and everything. Sometimes animals will walk in.
At Green School, you actually experience what you're learning and you like go outside, do stuff. I don't know, if you're like in math, you like measure plants or something, I don't know. But you go outside and it's much better than just getting a textbook and learning out of it.
Is there anything you don't like about your school?
No. It's a great school.
Ben says that, but Chayton looks dubious.
What?
Is there anything you don't like? Well, I mean, even Ben, I mean,
what?
Everyone, most kids kind of don't like, I mean, it's not a problem, but still, I don't really like homework that much, but it's fine.
I don't like homework.
It seems some things are just universal. Still, many kids here love the focus on the arts, especially music. Ibu Jan is one of the music teachers here. She's originally from Hawaii and teaches Zimbabwean marimba.
It's beyond my wildest dreams as a teacher to be outdoors, to have children who are focused and open-minded to learn new things, and in my case, learn new music.
Do you find the kids are, you know, distracted by what's going on outside and not paying attention, lack of walls, lack of structure, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's interesting. In the beginning, for a lot of students here, you know, there'll be this big, gorgeous tetra blue butterfly, like the size of your hand, that'll just pass through, and it does cause a little bit of a distraction. But no, I think the subjects are so interesting that they're pretty riveted, you know, what they're learning.
On the second day of the music festival, Ibu Jan takes the stage with a group of her students. After their performance, I sat down with the students in the band. 16-year-old Adele Guyton moved here from Germany.
I came here from a pretty normal German state school and found myself in absolute heaven, really. It's funny, you move to Bali from Germany and you start playing music from Zimbabwe, but that's sort of how it is here. Just people from all over the place with all different ideas and cultures, and they mix together in a really beautiful way.
Critics point out that the focus on music and the environment could come at the cost of academics. Art student Kathleen Hamilton is from the UK.
My friends that did go to more academic-based schools maybe had to work harder on certain exams, so people had to push themselves based on what they wanted to do after, which meant a lot of like independent study and like guiding ourselves, essentially.
But parents seem to think their kids are getting a good education here. Joanne Gelke has two young children at Green School.
My kids are excited to learn and excited to come to school, and they don't want to come home. And they can't wait for school to start. So I'm happy with the level of math and English and all that stuff they're getting. I'm beyond happy with how excited they are about learning.
And part of what they're learning at Green School is to take care of the environment. Joanne Gelke's daughter, Chinua, wrote a song about polar bears that went viral on YouTube.
I hope you care about the polar bears. Polar bears are nice.
That came out of the music class.
Again, communications director Charis Ford.
Even if a fraction of these kids get it and can contribute to kind of the awakening or the reorienting of our value set, you know, where we spend more time thinking about how to protect the planet. That's what the goal of the school is, to raise and inspire people who want to be green leaders.
These kids will eventually leave the Green School and possibly Bali, but the parents and teachers hope they'll remember the lessons they've learned and become environmentally engaged leaders and true global citizens.
I hope you care about the polar bears. That's all.
For Living on Earth, I'm Bobby Bascom at the Green School in Bali.